Happy Friday.
We made it, everybody.
We made it. Another week. We're here. Yeah, it's Friday, which means the regular Friday features are going to be happening straight out of context. That's when you listen to this radio station 24/7. Whenever anybody says anything that you can pull out of context and it sounds kind of dirty and it makes you giggle, you jot down the day, the time, who said it, and you send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. Same thing goes for Nick D Show Spies. Listen 24/7. Whenever anybody mentions me in any capacity, we want to know about it. You become a spy. Again, jot down the day, the time, who said it. Send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. We got You Big Dummy. And that's when we read real news stories of real dumb people doing real dumb stuff, and then we vote on who's the biggest dummy of the week. Tom votes, I vote, and then the first caller through it, 312-981-7200 is our third vote. And then Fly Jams Friday. We'd like to start your weekend on a funky note and play some Fly Jams. Also, coming up, we are going to talk about the best TV sidekicks of all time, which is going to be fun. And we're also going to talk about some of the smartest children in history. A 14-year-old girl in Chicago earned her master's degree. Jeez. When I was 14, I was going to the theater every day to see Phantasm. That's what I was doing. She's got a master's degree. So Atlas Comics is this legendary comic book place on the northwest side of Chicago. In fact, it's at 5251 North Harlem. And they're having a hard time, as many small businesses are, during the pandemic and during the lock-in and the shutdown and all that stuff. So there's an Indiegogo campaign that's alive through next week to help Atlas Comics out. The owner is John Stanglin. Hello, John.
Hello, Nick. How you doing?
I'm okay. How you been?
Not too bad.
Okay, all
just
right.
Been looking forward to talking with you tonight.
Well, I'm looking forward to telling the story of Atlas Comics, and it's a good story. It's been around for 30 plus years. Tell me about how it all started.
Well, this goes back to 1988. I had a store previous to the current incarnation of Atlas, which was called Titan Comics. That was on Milwaukee Avenue near Austin.
Mm-hmm.
And started out in 1983, and in 1987, I had an opportunity to do some freelancing for Marvel Comics. I wanted to write and draw for the comic industry, and so I closed that store. And long story, but to make it short, I was working with the editor-in-chief of Marvel Comics at the time, Jim Shooter, who subsequently, a few months later, lost his job. He got fired from Marvel, and the new regime really didn't want to have anything to do with the guys that he was bringing in.
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of brushed us off, and I realized, well, now I don't really have much to do. So I kind of went back to what I understood, which was the comic business. So I had a partner at that time. We drove around looking for neighborhoods that really didn't have a shop servicing them at the time.
Sure.
And we wound up driving down Cumberland Road in Norwich, mm-hmm. Right near Lawrence Avenue. We looked over and said, there's an interesting place. And we went over and looked at it. So we rented there, and we were there for 25 years. We eventually lost our lease there. At that time, he wasn't my partner. I was alone in the business. I bought him out in 1997.
Mm-hmm.
And moved for a little while into Jefferson Park, just taking a lot of our subscribers and regular customers. So I didn't have retail space for about 3 years.
Uh-huh.
And then the opportunity arose to find this place. You know, I was driving, but same thing. I'm just driving by and I look, that's an interesting place. And I went in and rented that about 3 years ago, and we've been there since.
And you've got some very, very loyal customers, don't you, John?
We really do. I mean, it's been, when I think about it now, especially that people haven't been coming in and I haven't seen them for a while, it's like I miss the people that come into the shop, because it really is like a tavern or a local watering hole that people have come in for years and really for decades. I mean, I have customers that have been with me for 30 years.
That's amazing.
I've seen them grow up, and I've seen them have kids, and their kids are growing up and buying comics now. So it's a kind of a multi-generational affair there.
That's beautiful, man. I love to hear these small business stories that, you know, that are so embraced by the customers and by the neighborhood and things like that. Those kind of stories just make me very happy.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing to me because, you know, sometimes you know, you get used to what you have. But this coronavirus and all the things that we've been going through has been really humbling. The people that have stepped up to the plate, who have either donated through the campaign you're talking about, or who have just said, look, let me give you money now, and I can work it off later so that you have money to continue. And just so many people doing so many great things for us. It is really, truly humbling.
It's beautiful. Yeah, they're really beautiful. John, personally, when did you get into comics? Were you a comic book fan even as a little kid?
Oh, yeah. I have three older brothers, 5, 10, and 11 years older than me. So,
oh, wow.
In the end, I wound up with all their hand-me-downs over the years. You know, they read comics for a while, like most people, for 2 or 3 years, and then grew up a little bit and got interested in cars and girls and sports, and they passed that stuff down to me. They're like, yeah, we don't care. You can keep them. And
yeah.
I frankly still have pretty much all those comics that I collected in the 60s and 70s. I was born in 61, so all of that stuff that I grew up on that was in the house is still sitting in boxes somewhere.
Wow.
Me.
That's amazing. So
yeah,
it's the,
isn't it?
Yeah, and wow, that's unbelievable that you still have all that stuff. Some of the stuff's got to be worth a lot of money, right, John?
Well, some of it is, but the thing was, you probably know, at that time in the 60s and the early 70s, nobody thought about the potential high-level value of comics.
Sure, sure.
So I read those comics to death, and I threw them in boxes, and they were, you know, under my mattress or in a cabinet somewhere.
Right.
So a lot of that stuff for me now is just like the touchstone to my youth. It's like looking at a photograph, like, oh, I remember the summer that I bought that comic, or I remember that my brother bought that and he gave it to me. So
that's
what it constitutes. That's the, you know, that's sort of the real value of that stuff in my life. You
got
know?
It.
There,
right.
there is some stuff that's valuable, but you know, it's really more the history more than anything
I understand. I totally understand. All right, John, hold on, okay?
Yeah.
All right, John Stanglin is with us. He is the owner of Atlas Comics, which is at 5251 North Harlem. There's an Indiegogo campaign because they're taking a hit, like a lot of small businesses are during this pandemic. And we want you to help them out, and we've got more things to talk about here. If you want to jump in, comic book-related stuff, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. More here on WGN. Hello, Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN. We're live in the Skyline studio here until 4 o'clock. As we are every weekday morning from 11 p.m. to 4 a.m., and it's a pleasure for me to serve you and to be with you. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you would like to join us. John Stanglin is the owner of Atlas Comics, which is a Northwest Side staple for 30-plus years, and it needs some help surviving during this pandemic. And John, you've got an Indiegogo campaign going. Let's hear about how somebody can give you some money.
Well, it's relatively simple. If you go to, you can either go to the Atlas Comics website, www.acomics.com, and there's a link there that you'll find that you can go. It'll take you directly to the Indiegogo page, or just go to Indiegogo and put in Atlas Comics, and it will come up. And what we're offering really is not just, you know, donations, free donations for us, but we're offering perks. So you can, for example, you can donate. If you donate $100, you can come in and get $130 worth of back issues and comics through the store. So
Wow. You're
actually getting something. It's a win-win for both of us. I get money to keep going for now. You guys get a bargain on future purchases. So I think it's a good thing all the way around.
Yeah, that sounds great. And I know that a lot of people, you know, since you have such a loyal customer base, I'm sure that people are going to help you out, John.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's gone pretty well so far. You know, it's been up for almost 3 weeks now, and it's done well, but, you know, it's been crawling. But you know, everything that comes in is great. And, you know, frankly, there, as I said, there have been other people who have come into the store and said, you know, let me give you something on account now, and we'll work it off over time. So that's in essence the same thing. There's been a lot of generosity all the way around, and it's really helping. And one of the things I say to people is, you know, you're helping me, but you're also helping all these other people who are in the chain, the people who write and draw the comics, the, you know, the suppliers, the distributors, the people who drive the trucks, all those things. And even my landlady, who is just like the sweetest woman you can imagine. And, you know, as I said in an article or a interview that I did earlier, she's got her own problems, and yeah. part of this also helps her. So
yeah.
it really spreads far and wide.
Yeah. Okay. That's great. I hope people help out, man. We've got a bunch of people who are calling in. Let's see. Here is Carlos on WGN. Hi, Carlos.
Hi. How are you guys doing?
All right. What's up?
Good. Well, I warned John that, you know, all sorts of maladjusted souls might try to get a hold of him tonight.
And
so I just didn't tell him that I would be one of them.
Yeah. Are you, you're a customer, then?
Yes, I have been going to Atlas.
This guy's been a customer longer than almost anybody.
Is that right? Wow, Carlos. All right, let me ask you this. How did you come across Atlas the first time?
Well, you know what? This would have been in 1983. Chicago had a good, healthy comic culture at the time, a couple of good stores. So there was a store I used to go to, Comic Kingdom, long missed. And the gentleman who owned it, Joe Sarno, told me that a new shop had just opened up. So I decided to go and check it out because, you know, as a kid collecting comics, you're always trying to find new places to find good stuff.
Sure.
So went in there and met John and hit it off. I mean, John was, you know, very sharp and really passionate about comics, but more importantly, he had all sorts of knowledge. You know, there's going to be people who collect, and there's going to be people who run shops just because they like the material. It was obvious John had just a passion and a lifelong love of it in terms of the minutia, the history, the creators, publishing, the whole works around it. And as a kid, like at that time, which I also had that same kind of love, finding someone who was older than me who would be willing to sit there and share ideas and teach you stuff, absolutely. That was just one of the great appeals of the store.
Yeah. Well, and then you've been coming ever since.
Yeah, I mean, 1983, you know, John and I have become really good friends. I mean, the older brother that I've never had, and, you know, this is a time where, as you mentioned, people come together and you look out for each other. I mean, the virus has done horrible and tragic things. I mean, there has been all sorts of terrible things that have happened to people all over the world, but, you know, we always have to look at it this way, that you can't tell good times and good people without bad times. And, you know, this is a situation that's really fortified a lot of people. And for every horrible story you hear on the news, you hear another story about people being kind and generous. So,
yeah, that's great, man. That's great. And we appreciate your support. And also, Carlos, do you have a favorite comic?
Oh, boy, that is so hard. When you're a kid, you know, things change. As an adult now, you know what? It's really hard to say what is my favorite. No, I'd love to be able to sit down and point out a favorite comic. There are some favorite storylines, but no one thing that I can point to.
Okay, all right.
It's about the magic.
I understand, Carlos. I totally understand. Well, thanks for calling in, Carlos, and thanks for being so loyal to John.
You know what? I think John said it best. It's just a gathering place for people who have a love and a passion for things. And you know what? John will probably mention it to you, but a lot of really, really good friendships and some great friendships have come out of that place.
Yeah.
Like a lot of other stores
absolutely
across the city.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Carlos,
you know, so
thanks, man. Stay safe, buddy.
No problem.
Okay.
You too.
All
have
right.
A good night.
312-981-7200. John, we got a bunch of people who are on the line.
Let me just give
the hours here that you're going to do. You're doing the curbside service,
right?
Okay, let us know how people can take advantage of the curbside service to help you out and to get their fix of the comics.
Right, great. So we know the mayor just announced that real opening, you know, for in-store purchases won't be until next Wednesday. I think she said the 3rd.
The 3rd, yeah. It's
so,
the 3rd, yeah.
Yeah, so right now I'll be in the shop tomorrow, Friday, or I guess it's actually today.
Yeah.
12 until 7, then Saturday 12 until 5, and Sunday 12 until 4. We usually are closed on Monday and Tuesday, but I think if I get enough interest, I may come in and work those days. I'll announce that ahead of time. But
okay.
For sure, tomorrow, Saturday and Sunday.
And the
and then of course on Wednesday we'll be, you know, reopened for our regular hours, 12 to 7 during the week.
Got it. Okay, but people can take advantage of the curbside service over the next few days until Wednesday.
Yes.
This information is at acomics.com.
Right, it's ACOMICS.
Okay, acomics.com. All right.
Right.
More people on the line here. We have someone named the Rhino. Oh, hello?
Yeah. Hey, John. Hey, buddy.
How you doing, Tony? Another
good,
one of my
man.
long-term customers.
Okay.
Everybody seems to be listening. I promise I did not tell them to call.
Oh, okay. No, listen, we love it, John. We love it. This is awesome. When the community comes together at a time like this, it's really inspiring. You know what I mean?
And I really feel that way, because hearing these voices of people that I've known for so long and who've been so loyal and so generous, it's just, it makes me feel great.
It's beautiful.
And I appreciate these guys.
It's beautiful. Now, what's your experience there, Rhino, with John in the store? When was your first time at Atlas?
You know, I was actually working for an alarm company, and they had a sales drive to, and I thought, you know, comic shops, those are probably small stores that don't think about getting alarm systems for their inventory. So I stopped in, and I met John's partner. I actually knew his partner for years before I knew John. John was just this tall, lanky guy that popped in every once in a while, and eventually John and I got to know each other real well. And honestly, I come in there more for the therapy, you know. You know, we're comic book fans. We were ready for this. You know, you can't get more socially distant than comic folks. You know, this is the John's shop among his friends was always called the Dark Dimension.
Is that right?
And yes, that is the name they hung on the shop.
The Dark Dimension. Okay.
Yes.
And we've been. You know, John's been a good buddy of mine for a lot of years now, and going to be definitely there to help you out. I'll catch up with you this weekend, pick up my books, pick up some statues, and I know we've always had a discount for regular subscribers, and feel free to waive that this time, man. This is, you know, anything
I can
do to help you out.
We don't work that way, Tony. What's been grandfathered in stays.
There you go. All right. Rhino, thanks for the call, buddy.
All right.
Thanks for supporting the small business. I love these stories. I love these stories, John. It really, it just warms my heart.
It's so nice. And what Tony said about therapy, in a way, is true. I mean, people have this image of people that go to comic shops and they talk about, you know, who's stronger, Thor or the Hulk, or who would win between Batman and Captain America. There is that kind of talk at the shop sometimes, but more often it really is just that personal connection. Like, you know, the Rhino might tell me about, his love life, or we might talk about places that we travel to or whatever. It really is.
Yeah.
It's just a place for people who do love the same things to gather, but then it also involves, you know, everything else in your life.
Right? Well, we can't allow a place like this to close down. It can't happen, especially with all these stories and how much it means to the community and how loyal everybody is. You got to go to the Indiegogo campaign and just give some money, go to the curbside service this week and get some comics and stuff. But he just said statues. What else do you have in the, besides comics? What else do you have in the shop?
Well, comics, obviously, we do new and old. We have vintage stuff going all the way back into the 50s. So there's a lot of that. I think we have more back issues probably than any other store in Chicago that are on display to look through all the time. And we also have comic supplies, but we also have some toys. We have statues. We have posters. We have old magazines. We have, you know, sci-fi paperbacks. There's a little something for everybody, and of all age groups. So you go back and you have Archie comics for young kids, and there's a lot of stuff now being published for young girls. So we have Marvel and DC put out their all ages or youth oriented superhero teams, and so there really is a little bit of something for everybody in there, I think.
Okay. All right, John, hold on, okay?
You bet.
Okay. John Stanglin is with us. He's the owner of Atlas Comics, and they need your help. Indiegogo campaign is up now. Give some money, give whatever you can, or just stop by. There's curbside service happening over the weekend, and buy a bunch of stuff and help this comic book store and the small business stay around by doing all you can. These stories are just beautiful, and how much this, you know, business means to people. Okay, we got more coming up with John on 720 WGN. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. live in the Skyline studio here till 4 a.m. All the regular Friday features are coming up after 3. We are going to be talking about some of the best TV sidekicks of all time and some of the smartest kids in history. Right now we are talking with John Stanglin, who is the owner of Atlas Comics at 5251 North Harlem. And like a lot of small businesses, they're taking a hit right now because of the pandemic and need some help to stay around. John, I understand that you've also been messing around with some videos that you've been posting.
Oh, yeah. I decided I wanted to shoot a few things, and I realized, you know, my iPhone can shoot. And, when I was putting the Indiegogo together, all the advice was you want to have a video with your pitch because you get people connect more with your story and you'll get more donations.
Yeah.
So I decided to shoot a few things, and my girlfriend had some editing software on her computer, so I went over there and kind of tinkered around with it. And, you know, I've always been interested in movies. I know you're a big movie guy.
Yeah.
I had a lot of fun just like editing and putting these things together. So I wound up, you know, buying some editing software and just started tinkering around with it. Mm-hmm. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's really unlocked a touch of creativity, and it's just been interesting to learn.
And also, it's a nice thing to keep you busy during all this.
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah.
When this first started, I thought, well, I'm going to have time to do everything that I need to do. You know, I wanted to get some writing done. I'm working on a book right now, and I kept thinking, well, I'll be able to get through all these things that I've wanted to get done, but there's so much work to do just to keep the store maintained while it's even not open.
Yeah, sure.
To put out new material, to make these videos and learn, have the learning curve of trying to figure out how to do it and how to edit and so on. So my day is filled up just keeping things running and keeping things ready, you know, to hopefully, obviously, we're going to be reopening next week, and that you got to be ready for that. It's got to be a whole new kind of ball game to make sure you have customers and keep things going. So.
That's right. Okay. All right. Atlas Comics is the place. Indiegogo campaign. Give what you can, or stop by over the weekend and buy some stuff. Every bit helps. So here's Brian on WGN. Hey, Brian.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
All right. What's up?
Hey, I've been going on and off to Atlas since his old location on Cumberland. I don't know if John knows me by name, but I would always stop in there as a kid after church and stop in, and his current store on Harlem is awesome.
So, all right. You're supporting all of this, right, Brian?
Yes.
Yeah, that's great. God, you have so many loyal customers, John. This is amazing.
Yeah, it really is amazing to me. And you know, a shout out to everybody there who's listening. And, of course, the people who are snug in their beds right now but who are loyal customers, just it's really incredible to me, but I couldn't do it. We couldn't last this long without loyalty to people around.
That's exactly right. Brian, thank you so much for the support, and we appreciate it. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Okay, buddy,
take care.
Thanks, man. Yeah, there you go. Here is Sean on WGN. Hi, Sean.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
All right.
Hey, John, hang in there, buddy. I love comic book stores. They're, so few and far between now. Good luck to you, man. I just had a quick question. I got a big beating when I was a kid. I broke into my stepbrother's, comic book collection, and we spilled pop all over it. It was Detective Comics. I remember Detective Comics. It was the Batman one, and all I remember was number 4. And all I remember was we got a big beating for it. Was the beating justified?
I'm going to say yes.
Yeah.
As long as you think that comic hurt, that was probably okay, you know.
Right.
Is that a special issue comic, John?
Well, I'm going to tell you this. Detective Comics, Batman didn't actually appear until number 27. Now, if it was Detective Comics number 4 and didn't have Batman in it, that's very expensive. But I'm sure his recollection is that it was a really early issue of Detective with Batman in it.
Yeah.
And those are really... those are as scarce as hen's teeth, and they are very, very expensive.
Oh, Sean.
Oh, man. I deserve it.
You got a justifiable beating. Yeah.
Yes, I did.
All right.
Thank you. And, John, good luck to you, man.
Okay. Thanks.
Hey, thank you.
Take care. Justifiable beating. Wow.
Yeah.
What's the rarest comic book that you've ever come across?
A couple of years, probably 6 or 7 years ago, I wound up with the self-same issue we just talked about, Detective Comics 27. Now, it did not have a cover. Mm. It was a coverless copy. But nonetheless, this being the first appearance of Batman anywhere.
Oh, boy.
From 1939.
Yeah.
It was still a very expensive book. Mm-hmm. It eventually sold for around, I'm going to say it out loud, $25,000.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, which surprised the heck out of me because I thought, maybe it'd be worth, it has no cover, maybe it's worth $2,000 or something like that.
Yeah,
but it was a big shock to me when that sold. So
wow.
But that is probably the rarest thing that I've come across.
Wow. Oh, man. Okay. Well, here is Squad on WGN. Go ahead, Squad.
Hi, Nick. Hi, John.
Good. Go ahead.
Quick question. How is your inventory? Do you have any inventory of Stooges?
I'm sorry, Stooges, did you say?
Stooges, right? Yeah, Squad, Stooges. Is that what you meant? Stooges.
Yeah, I'm sure I have a few. I'd have to take a look around. I think I know where some are, but I'm sure I could find something for you.
Okay, and Nick, I can't remember what the heck went on with the circumstances of yesterday, but maybe he just wanted to quit the business. But if he would have got on the air, he would have got some support to stay open if he needed the financial stability too,
Yeah, okay, Squat. Thanks for the call, buddy. All right, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. With the popularity of all these, superhero movies and stuff like that, has that affected business at all? Like, I mean, because the whole Marvel universe and all the DC films and the huge popularity of those types of movies, has that affected business?
Yeah, I think it has. Maybe not as much as people would expect, but what it is doing is it's bringing in a lot of younger readers that we didn't have, say, 10 years ago or a little bit longer. It seemed like the industry was just deflating because it was just holding on to the same readers and maybe adding a few people here and there. Whereas now I'm really encouraged by the fact that there's a lot of young girls coming in and there's a lot of product for them to get hooked on and to see. When you and I were growing up, there was Archie and that was kind of about it, maybe some love comics.
Yeah.
But now you've got a lot of female heroes. There's a lot of strong characters. There's stuff for young boys. There's stuff for every age. But it really is the young readers that are seeing the movies and then coming in and wanting to read the comics, which is about as good as it could be because, that fan base that we've had for all these years, grows stagnant after a while. You need that new blood to appreciate the form of comics as something different than the movies that they also enjoy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing to me. I'm glad you brought up the fact that you're getting a lot of girls coming in because the amount of money that the Wonder Woman movie made and how much of a breakthrough that was and just a huge thing. And I loved going to the movies, not necessarily to see Wonder Woman, but Wonder Woman, you go to these multiplexes and seeing little girls with Wonder Woman t-shirts on and dressed up like Wonder Woman. It was so inspiring and it was a terrific movie too.
Yeah, exactly. It's amazing when you see those kids come out of that movie and you can see the sparkle in their
eyes. Absolutely.
And you can see that they're kind of projecting themselves onto the screen, and that is amazing. And that goes for anybody, but especially for the girls who haven't had the opportunities in previous decades.
Absolutely.
To have what they have now.
And we would have had a sequel out right now.
The opening.
It would have been, I think it's this week, or Memorial weekend, right?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
So I think it's been pushed back to late in the year, but who knows if it'll even make it then.
Yeah, it's Wonder Woman 1984, and the trailer's fantastic, and the first movie was really terrific, and it was a big deal when it came out, not just at the box office, but, in culture. It was huge. Yeah. So
exactly, and I tell this story about various movies, but, I see some of these movies either with my girlfriend or sometimes we go with another couple, and generally I'm the only comic book person. You know, my girlfriend's not much of a comic person, and these other people, so I kind of call them civilians. I go to see the movies with civilians, you know.
Right, right.
But in Wonder Woman and in some of the other movies, sometimes they're much more enthusiastic even than I am, and I loved Wonder Woman, and the three people that I saw it with, they were just like, wow, that was so fun.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And this is, to me, what brings joy to those stories is, you know, we went through the 80s and 90s where you had all these action movies, the Rambos and,
right.
and the Schwarzeneggers and Stallones, which are fine. You know,
yeah.
they're wonderful movies, but they're dark. They're revenge. Like a lot of the Marvel movies and Wonder Woman were about these positive attributes. And I find that just so refreshing. I really appreciate that.
Yeah. I was, you know, my favorite comic book movie of all time, John, is it's actually a dark one. Sorry.
It's fine.
But it's my favorite comic book movie of all time is Logan. I absolutely love that movie. And I thought that Hugh Jackman and Patrick Stewart were Oscar worthy in that movie. I adore that movie.
I agree with you. I saw that. I was on vacation in New York, and I was sort of half interested because some of the other Wolverine movies haven't been that great.
Right.
And I saw it, and they took it in such a different direction.
Yep.
And they made it this road trip with these three generations of people. And I thought the same thing. I was just like, wow, I was really surprised by that. And I thought it was really good.
Yeah.
Exceedingly violent.
Yeah,
really,
I mean, it was R-rated and they went for it, you know. But before Logan, my favorite comic book movie was Superman 2. I've always loved Superman 2.
It's got a great fight in it,
it's
right?
It's got a fantastic fight. The Times Square stuff is awesome.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, John, hold on a second, okay?
Sure.
John Stanglin is with us. He is the owner of Atlas Comics. He needs your help. Go to the Indiegogo page and give some money. We want to keep this institution alive. We've heard so many callers call up and talk about how much this place means to them. And it's not just about comic books. It's about community. So 312-981-7200 is the number. We'd love to hear from you. More with John coming up.
Like this,
yeah, man.
Really
Boston. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we're live in the Skyline studio. And it's a Friday morning. All the regular Friday features coming up a little later on. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. John Stanglin is with us, and he's the owner of Atlas Comics, and Atlas Comics needs your help. You know, obviously, a lot of small businesses have taken a huge hit because of the pandemic. And this place has been around for over 30 years, has an incredibly loyal fan base and a customer base, and they need your help. There's an Indiegogo campaign that's happening right now to help John and Atlas Comics out right now. And again, John, curbside service is available all weekend, and then Wednesday, June 3rd, is when things are going to start to reopen here in the city.
Exactly.
But
right.
Over the weekend, if you want to spend some money, curbside service, it'll be safe, and it'll help out John and Atlas Comics. So here's Mark on WGN. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Nick. How's it going?
Okay. What's up?
Good. Got a question for John. John, you opened up this new store on Harlem Avenue about 2 years ago. I just want to know, what was the name of the painter? That's a beautiful store, and I just want to know who painted that store for you and did a fantastic job.
That was me, actually.
Oh, that was you? That was you. I saw it was maybe...
This guy's a ringer, Nick.
Yeah.
Another one of my longtime
customers. Another one of your longtime customers, I see.
Yeah. I guess they're all night owls.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, it's awesome. I'm really thrilled because I love these kind of stories, John. I really do. And it's so great to hear all of these loyal customers calling in and talking about how important the shop is, you know? And that's great. And I think it's going to help raise more money.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, it makes me realize, and I'm not just saying this, it makes me realize I miss them because, you know, just about every week, guys like Mark are coming in and picking up their books and hang around for a while and find out what's going on in their lives.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, that's all kind of cut off right now. So,
yeah. Well, Mark, I'm glad you like the paint job.
I do, and it's like John said earlier, the store is like a tavern. It's kind of like Cheers, where everybody knows your name. You walk in, and it's a good feeling, and I really miss it, and I can't wait till the world goes back to normal.
Okay. Mark, yeah. I appreciate your call, man.
All right. Have a good night, guys.
Okay. There you go.
All right.
You have great customers, John.
I really do. I'm not a religious man, but I am blessed.
Yes. Here's Thomas on WGN. Hi, Thomas.
Hi, Nick. Hi, John. I'm not a customer, but I just have a question. Do you have any comics, specifically a comic called Bluebird from a comic company in the late 70s called Power Comics? I think they were out of Michigan, somewhere around Detroit.
I do remember Power Comics, but I do not think I have any issues of Bluebird in my inventory, and I've got a pretty good handle on what the inventory is. I can look around. I might have some other stuff from Power Comics because I think they had maybe two other titles or something like that, but I don't think I have any Bluebird.
Okay.
I'll tell you what, I will look around, and if I see that, I will put it up on Facebook and let you know.
All right, Thomas?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, take care. What kind of requests do you get from people?
You know, a little bit of everything. I mean, obviously there are people who come in with their specific wants. They collect, you know, Batman or Superman or Spider-Man or whatever. So they're looking to fill in holes in their collection. There are people who only collect certain comic covers. There are people who collect specific artists. And then you also have people who might be looking for a comic book from the month and year that they were born. You know, so it's a little bit of everything, and there's so many genres and subgenres. You know, there are people who collect TV comics from the 60s and 70s, so you had things like I Love Lucy and Hogan's Heroes and, you know, all the TV shows that you can imagine back then had comic books.
Right.
So it's kind of fun going through the inventory to satisfy the things that people want, and there is so much inventory that it's pretty common to be able to find something that fills the bill for people.
Yeah. By the way, the store number, if people are interested, is 708-453-2110. That's 708-453-2110. And it's located at 5251 North Harlem. And if you want to donate, please go to Indiegogo and give what you can. And go over, do some curbside service this weekend and buy some stuff. Hey, John, does anybody ever ask you about Ambush Bug?
I remember Ambush Bug very well, but I'm going to say no. Nobody ever asked me about Ambush Bug.
I got into Ambush Bug because this is a weird thing. There's this movie called Madonna, Patricia Arquette movie, Susan, Desperately Seeking Susan.
Right.
So there's like the villain in the movie who's like sort of stalking her. At one point, just a weird looking guy with crazy hair. At one point, he's just sitting on a chair, you know, reading a copy of Ambush Bug. And my friend and I went, what is that? And so we went out and got some Ambush Bug, and I thought it was really funny.
Oh, it's a funny and very whimsical series. Keith Giffen was the artist, and, you know, there were quite a few series. That was DC Comics back in the 80s.
Yeah.
And just kind of like wacky, surreal, oddball stuff that was very funny.
What about Milk and Cheese?
Oh, yeah. I've got like, I think I just put out a near full run of Milk and Cheese, which is again, a surreal, oddball, you know, near underground style comic. But
yeah.
We do carry a lot of that kind of stuff, too, just like it's, the oddball, off-brand, underground, short run. We have a lot of that stuff,
Yeah,
too.
That's the kind of stuff I lean towards, John, if you can tell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But my favorite strip of Milk and Cheese is Merv Griffin, which I think is one of the funniest strips I've ever seen in my life. Are you familiar with Merv Griffin?
I know Merv Griffin. I don't know the Milk and Cheese version of Merv Griffin.
You'll look it up, John. It's just because Milk and Cheese, all they do basically is destroy things. It's the subtitle is Dairy Products Gone Bad.
Yeah.
And the Merv Griffin strip is just one page, I think, is absolutely hilarious. And you'll see why it's called Merv Griffin when you look at it.
All right, I'm going to look tomorrow because I know exactly where they are. I'm going to look at those.
Okay, cool. Here's Glenn on WGN. Hi, Glenn.
Hey, Nick, love the show.
Thanks, man.
Hey, for your guest there, I forget his name. I'm sorry.
It's John.
But I'd like to make a donation to your store.
Uh-huh.
Here's I don't know if you're familiar with this collection. Who's Who in the DC Universe is basically like an encyclopedia of all the characters, groups, and...
They had a bunch of different series in the 80s and early 90s. Yeah, definitely. And I have some of those for sure.
Oh, crap, because I wanted to get rid of my collection.
Probably not something we need right now because I do have a good solid group of those. And
yeah,
frankly, there's not a ton of people looking for him. But
but Glenn, if you want to support, man, go to the Indiegogo page and drop some dollars his way. Okay.
Oh, definitely.
Okay. Thanks, Glenn.
Thank you.
Thanks, Nick. Take care.
You too.
So, you know, a lot of small businesses are going through, you know, some terrible stuff right now, taking a big hit. Mm-hmm. How's your neighborhood holding up in this situation?
You mean in terms of the business area
like,
that I'm in?
Yeah, and I mean, and I'm sure, you know, like your neighbors, you know your neighbors and the businesses around you. How are they holding
Absolutely.
Up? How are they holding up?
You know, pretty good. I have, I have a gentleman on one side, great guy who runs the computer repair shop, and he also sells computers and parts. And I actually just spoke to him a couple days ago, and he said it was, you know, really bad that first month because nobody was coming in, and but you know, he's starting to recover. He seems like he's doing pretty well. The people on the other side of me are an insurance agency, and I think they can do a lot of their business remotely.
Sure.
and through the internet. The people that I'm a little worried about are on the corner of our business. These guys literally were ready to open up just before the pandemic hit.
Man.
And it's strangely enough, it's a hookah delivery business. So they, for parties and such, they will bring customized hookahs and tobacco and whatever else goes with the hookah and bring it to your home.
Wow.
And yeah, I mean, and it's beautiful. It's so beautifully appointed, and the guys are really nice, but it's just the bad luck of being, you know, brought in at the wrong time.
Yeah,
so,
man, that stinks. We had somebody else on who was about to reopen, and then the pandemic hit.
Yeah, Madison Street Books.
That's right, Madison Street Books. That's right. They were about to reopen. They were about to open, and then boom, the pandemic hit.
Yeah.
That's just, the timing was so bad for some of these businesses. Wow.
Yeah, it's so tough. It's so tough. And I really feel for, you know, my neighbors and anybody like that who's invested their time and passion and energy in doing this. And I know how it is. I mean, I've always wanted to work for myself and not have a boss over my head. And you have that dream of, like, I'm going to do it myself.
Yeah.
And if something comes in the way that's out of your control, it's really, really sad.
Well, listen, it's been so great to talk to you, John. Such a great story, such rich history, so inspiring when these people are calling in to talk about how much this place means to them. And I hope we helped raise some money for you tonight, John. I really do. And I hope you get back on your feet and Atlas Comics pulls through this and is very successful, okay?
I really appreciate that. It's been a ton of fun, and you know, again, the generosity of you guys calling me and having me on has just been terrific. I really appreciate it.
It's an important thing to talk about during times like this. We want to hear the human stories, and we want to get inspired, okay?
Absolutely, and if you ever have questions about comics or if you ever need anything, call me anytime.
I'll call you up when I need another issue of Ambush Bug.
Perfect.
Okay, thanks, John.
All right. Thanks, Nick.
Okay. There's John Stanglin. Help him out. Atlas Comics is in trouble, as a lot of small businesses are. But this business means a lot to a lot of people, as you just heard. There's an Indiegogo campaign happening right now, or stop by this weekend, curbside service, and buy some stuff. Help this place out. A lot of small businesses need help right now. All right. So we're going to break here on WGN.